part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
KC's Total Talk Nonsense with Jizz and Skiz. I'm Jizz.
And I'm Skiz.
Sorry about that. We're using the dirty board.
It is dirty.
It's dirty.
It's a dirty board, John.
You hear that dirt?
Welcome to the Heavy Metal episode 84 part 3, John. 84 part 3.
Uh-oh.
It is dirty.
I just lost the channel.
Which one? There you go. Nice. Turn those knobs.
Wow. What's the fuck's up with this thing?
All right, I forgot to talk about the movies that I saw, John. I saw two movies. One I've seen before, but I have a question about.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Amadeus?
Rock Me Amadeus?
No, Amadeus with F. Murray and Tom Hulce. You've never seen Amadeus?
No.
Oh, it's one of... I don't know why I didn't put it on my top 10 movies of all time. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen, John.
Really?
Yes.
Let me turn that shit down.
And I've seen it 20 times. I love it. So anyway, the daughter, she's in third grade, and she's got to do a book report on Mozart, right? So I tell her what I know about Mozart, and I said, hey, you know, we got this movie. Let's watch this movie. Now, the movie's fictional. It's based on a couple of things that were said that may or may not be true.
Yeah.
But I'll point out some of the factual things about Mozart when we watch this movie. So we're watching this movie, and I love this movie, John. Love this movie. But I got a new DVD of it. The first DVD I got, right when I got a DVD player, it came on two DVDs.
Wow.
That's how old these DVDs
were.
Yeah,
right.
You'd watch like an hour
and
a half.
Back in the day, man.
And then you'd have to swap the DVD.
Did it even work?
It did work, but the video was awful and the audio was even worse. So I upgraded when they came out with this Criterion Collection, right? So we're watching this movie. I've seen this movie 20 times because I love this fucking movie. And there's this scene where Mozart's wife starts taking her clothes off.
Nice.
For Salieri, which I can't even remember. So I'm fumbling around for the remote trying to fast forward or skip the scene. And it's too late. Mozart's wife whips the boobs out.
Nice.
And my daughter, who's 9, is like, what is she showing her boobs for? What is that all about? Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Yeah, that wasn't supposed to be in the movie. I don't know why that was in the movie. That was my explanation.
Nice.
I should be up for Parent of the Year, shouldn't I, John?
Yeah, you should be.
And then there was another scene where Mozart was trying to take on pupils in Vienna. And the one pupil that he took on, the father would be in the same room with like 14 dogs.
Yeah.
And when he'd start playing and the girl would start singing, the dogs would start howling. I don't remember that scene from the original. I don't know what's going on, so I got to check into that. But what a great movie.
Yeah.
I got to give you that disc, John. I got to give it to you.
You know, I watched with commercials. I don't know why. The wife and I had on there are things in here in the submarine that react
Red October
well to bullets, Mr. Ryan. And it is so goddamn funny when Alec Baldwin does it. When he imitates Ramses or whatever his name is. I think his name was Ramses.
Okay.
The
same as Moses' nemesis.
Ramses.
Moses' nemesis.
Maybe it was a Jesus thing.
Could be.
Another one of those allegory of the Christ.
All right, so then right after I watch Amadeus, which was one of my favorite movies of all time, and I think it won Best Picture John, 1984.
Picture.
And I think F. Murray won as well. I just love that movie. And so the very next movie I watch, so I get Emma to bed, get the son to bed, and the wife and I stay up and we watch. I don't even know what the fucking name of this movie is. There's Hollywood is in the title. But the story is about George Reeves. Superman, the first Superman.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
No.
Where Superman apparently commits suicide. So they tell this story. Adrian Brody is in it, who I like quite a bit. And guess who plays George Reeves?
Oh, yeah.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Affleck. Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, the history aspect of it and everything like that, and I like Adrian Brody, that was good. But the way they told the story, and especially after seeing Amadeus.
Well, they told it as a murder.
Right. They tell it as a... No, they don't. They tell it as an investigation, but they tell it the time is all disjointed. The time reference.
Yeah.
Because you're watching things that happen after the murder, and then they cut back to before the murder.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sometimes it's hard to tell when they're before and when they're after. You don't know.
Yeah.
But when you
There's
watch...
There's some weird history, man.
When you watch Amadeus, and it's told from a narrative of Salieri in a mental institution when he's in his 80s, talking back, reminiscing about Mozart and how he feels responsible for killing Mozart. And then you watch this thing that it's such a great story. Such a great story, and they fucked it up. They managed to fuck it up. They got a good cast, and I don't know what they were thinking. They fucked it up.
Did
they
you buy Affleck?
Affleck, to me, is one of the worst actors in the modern era, John. But for this part, and I talked to the wife afterwards.
I disagree. Have you ever seen Reindeer Games?
I have not seen Reindeer Games.
Well, when you see Reindeer Games, you will change your fucking tune, mister.
But I'm watching this movie, and I think, okay, so was Affleck so bad because he studied George Reeves, and he was playing George Reeves to a T, and George Reeves was horrible? Or is Affleck just horrible? And my wife is like, Affleck is one of the horriblest actors. I don't even want to talk about him. He's so bad. So let's not even talk about him anymore. and I always thought he was maybe below average, but she just thinks he's just awful, horrible. So I couldn't tell if it was...
I just think the guy's miscast.
I think he was cast well as George Reeves.
He's good in like Boiler Room and shit like that. Like if he was put in more Michael J. Fox type roles, he'd be much better.
Well, I got to tell you, I used to hate Ben Affleck, John, until we covered a story about him fruit basketing, Kevin Smith. And what that is where you, what do? You put your balls?
You put your balls on somebody's head.
On somebody's head.
Like a fruit basket. You know those fruit basket hats?
And that one act earned more respect from me for Ben Affleck than all the work he's done, John.
Because you're gay. Your
wife is that why?
Yeah. You're yearning for a fruit basket.
No, I would not
for
want
Easter.
A fruit basket. So I can't recommend this movie, John. But if you are, and I think you are into Superman, I think you should see it. It's pretty good.
Well, I don't know if I want to see it. I know the story of George Reeves and how he was nailing this big shot Hollywood producer, or whatever he is.
Wife.
His wife. And the guy like thought it was fine. He was cool with it. And then something happened where some people believe that he broke his wife's heart. And he told George Reeves at some point, if you ever break my wife's heart, I'll kill you. And she bought him a house. She did all this shit for him.
Oh, yeah.
And no wonder he wanted to commit suicide. They wouldn't cast him in any other role than a Superman role.
Well, no, they did cast him. He was cast in From
yeah,
Here to Eternity.
Yeah, he did a couple of things.
Well, wait a minute. So they cast
and
him in From
Cowboy
Here to Eternity.
Too.
From Here to Eternity. And during the preview of this movie where they have the red carpet and all the stars show up. They're watching the movie, and when George Reeves comes on the screen, everybody starts murmuring and snickering that that's Superman. So the guy who is producing the movie said, okay, we need to cut him out of the movie.
Oh, no.
So they he finally gets his big break. He's working with Sinatra and whoever the fuck was in that movie. And then they ends up on the cutting room floor because they associated with him.
It's horrible.
With Superman. That is horrible, John. That's horrible.
Yeah.
But there was definitely motive. There was
conspiracy theorists.
They give you the producer motive. Yeah. They give you his girlfriend motive. He got a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then he dumped the producer's wife.
Yeah.
They give you that motive, and then they give you just the suicide motive, and it's up to you to decide which way it went down.
Right.
All right, let's quickly, John, turn to science news. I have one science story. One science. Let me ask you this question, John. Are you worried about anal cancer?
No, because I have it.
Oh, you already have it, so you're not worried about it?
No, yeah.
The HPV vaccine is being tested against anal cancer, John. The vaccine has just been mandated for sixth grade girls in Texas to prevent cervical cancer. Doctors think it might also block anal cancer, which is most common among men with histories of receptive anal intercourse.
I heard they have a name for it.
What is that? Tetanus. I love that phrase, receptive anal intercourse, as opposed to being ass-raped.
I'd like to receive you now.
Arguments, the cervix is similar biologically to the anus, so there's plenty of hope that it will work there also. Two, the anal cancer rate for gay men is similar to cervical cancer rates before the advent of the pap smears.
Oh, my God.
Did you know you can get a pap smear in your anus?
An ass smear? Can I get one of those pap ass
smears? Doctors are advising some gay men, so listen up, Tony, to get routine anal pap smears. The vaccine's producer, Merck, is testing it on 4,000 men, including a sample of 500 gay men. Film at 11. And that is our only science story, John.
Nice.
All right, let's get into politics.
Politics.
See what's going on with the W's.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
What do you got?
I got President Vladimir V. Putin.
Putin
of Russia accused the United States on Saturday of provoking a new nuclear arms race by developing ballistic missile defenses, undermining international institutions, and making the Middle East more unstable through its clumsy handling of the Iraq war.
Well, I agree on the clumsy handling, but fuck him about our missile defense.
Yeah,
fuck
he should
off.
Talk.
Yeah, fucker.
Fuck you.
Putin.
Yeah. He said that the United States had turned the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which sends international monitors to elections in the former Soviet sphere, into a vulgar... to a vulgar instrument of ensuring the foreign policy interests of one country. I don't know how to do it. Ronnie, do Russian.
I don't know. We'll have to go to, isn't there a website you gave me that?
Right. Yeah, you can translate.
Translate.
The world, Mr. Putin said, is now unipolar. One single.
Unipolar. What the hell does that mean?
Unipolar. That sounds kind of fucked up.
It does.
It goes in one direction. One single center of power, one single center of force, one single center of decision making. This is the world of one master, one sovereign.
Why does he say master? He should say one chimp.
Yeah. One chimp in charge. Charles in charge. Never fret, though. Bush's actions had their defenders. Can you guess who stood up for our global policy, Skiz?
As far as outside of the United
States? Right here in the good old USA.
Cheney?
No, it wasn't. It was Senator John McCain responded. In today's multipolar war, there is no place for needless confrontation. Will Russia's autocratic turn become more pronounced? Its foreign policy more opposed to the principles of the Western democracies, and its energy policy used as a tool of intimidation? He asked. Moscow must understand that it cannot enjoy a genuine partnership with the West so long as its actions at home and abroad conflict fundamentally with the core values of the Euro-Atlantic democracies. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, said it was seen as unnecessary bravado. And Senator Joseph Lieberman, an independent from Connecticut, who's a Democrat, described the speech as...
Don't say that. Who's a Democrat.
Confrontational.
He's a cocksucker.
Saying some of the rhetoric makes us go back to the Cold War.
Some of the rhetoric makes us go back to the Cold War?
No, he sounds more like Elmer Fudd.
He sounds like Jackie Mason.
Jesse Mason.
He does it. The aardvark he sounds like. I lost my pen. God damn it.
Putin should freaking talk.
Yeah, Putin.
Ooh. Thank you.
Putin should talk, but yeah. Speak about the shit's going on over there. Talk about unstable. Talk about some more bullshit coming out this week about, you remember the WMDs? We're still looking for them, Skiz.
No, we're not.
I don't know if you've heard about
them. We're not looking for them because they're not there.
They're not there.
Even the W says they're not there.
Well, a New York Times reporter who got Iraqi WMDs wrong now highlights the Iran claims, of course, which all the Bush apologists are now touting on all the right-wing wacko channels. New York Times features an article posted at the top of its website late Friday that suggests very strongly that Iran is supplying the deadliest weapon aimed at American troops in Iraq. The author notes, any assertion of an Iranian contribution to attacks on Americans in Iraq is both politically and diplomatically volatile. What is the source of this volatile information? Nothing less than civilian and military officials from a broad range of government agencies. Sounds pretty convincing? That's a question.
No.
Well, almost all the sources in the story are unnamed. It also may be worth noting that the author is Michael R. Gordon, the same Times reporter who, on his own or with Judith Miller, wrote some of the key and badly misleading or downright inaccurate articles about Iraqi WMDs in the run-up to the 2003 invasion. Scott?
Yeah, the same propaganda, the same shit. You know this Michael Gordon? His name used to be Crotch. I'm sorry, Roch. But he changed it
Mike
to Gordon.
Roch.
Yeah, it used to be Mike Roch.
Mike R. Roch. Mike R. Roch. Yeah.
Well, John, some people are asking war with Iran?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I've heard that.
The information includes interrogation reports from the raids indicating that money and weapons components are being brought into Iraq from across the Iranian border in vehicles that travel at night. One of the detainees has identified an Iranian operative as having supplied two of the bombs. The border crossing at Mehran is identified as the major crossing point for the smuggling of money and weapons for shit militants, according to the intelligence.
For Shiite.
So here's what I don't understand about the story. Whoever is reporting this, wherever I got this, from some bullshit propaganda news organization, if they know where the shit is coming across from Mehran, then why are they letting it happen?
Yeah.
Why don't they stop there. It? Just stop it then. If they know the shit's coming through there, then put a whatever you need to put there and start blowing shit up.
No, here's what you do. You just leave.
Yeah, you just
pack up your shit and go.
And then you report on it.
This.
Then you report on it so that we can invade Iran.
Right.
Do you suck dicks?
I know. It's fucked up.
I get
it's
this, John.
So fucked up.
But here's another perspective. Bush's advisors are telling him, get this, John, invade Iran, then everyone will see how smart you are. In this month's issue of Vanity Fair, Craig Unger writes that the same neoconservative advisors who advocated for the Iraq war are now recycling the same tactics to push for the bombing of Iran, which you just covered, John, so eloquently. Unger reports that not all of Bush's key conservative allies are pleased with the administration's course on Iran. Everything the advocates of war said would happen hasn't happened, says the president of the American for Tax Reform, Grover Norquist. Nice name, Grover. An influential conservative who backed the Iraq invasion. And all the things the critics said would happen have happened.
Unbelievable.
The president's neoconservative advisors are effectively saying, invade Iran, then everyone will see how smart you are. But after you've lost X number of times at the roulette wheel, John, do you double down? And I think so, because the Bush, look at God talks to him.
And I'm going to kick the living shit.
He's a dry drunk.
I'm going to knock your dick in the dirt.
He sees in black and white. So, and he's all concerned about his legacy, John. His legacy.
Right.
So I say if you're that fucked up like the W is, fuck bombing Iran. Bomb the whole goddamn Middle East. Just wipe it off the fucking map.
Yeah, otherwise you're just
you're a gutless turd.
That's right, man. A gutless turd.
Gutless turd, you chimp.
Retired Defense Intelligence Officer Patrick Lang told Unger that Bush has ordered STRATCOM, the military command responsible for nuclear weapons, missiles. How does he say nuclear?
Nuclear
weapons, missile defense, and protection against weapons of mass destruction to draw plans for a massive strike against Iran.
Weapons of mass masturbation.
Not only that, former CIA officer Philip Giraldi said, I've heard from sources at the Pentagon, and their impression is the White House
is that the
has
Pope?
Made the decision that war is going to happen, John.
You know, Rummy's still at the Pentagon.
I know. Sucker. Suck. Oh.
That is one big pile.
Oh,
of
let
shit.
Me get the door. Hold on. Was that the doorbell?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Fucking A, man. Let me get that. Hurry up, man, would you?
I got a couple stories before I'm going
to. All right. All right.
Let me get the door first. Hey, man! What's happening? Come on, sit down.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, I'm back. All right, Phil, take a seat. Yeah, we're back in the studio, and Phil made it back at the studio.
Thank you for the mic.
All right, Phil, get your shit together. I got two more quick stories before we get to your news.
Oh, I just got a paper cut on my neck.
I don't know if you heard this, John, but President George W. Bush's uncle, William H.
I hear there's rumors of
William H.T. Bucky Bush.
Well, they don't want to mix him. Wait, who is it? His uncle?
William H.T. Bucky Bush. This is
wait a minute. And who,
George Sr.'s brother, Bucky Bush.
And who do you think his son is?
I don't know.
I bet it's Billy Bush, is the guy Billy? On Access. What's that show on Channel 5?
I don't know. I don't watch TV, man.
He's on the show.
What show?
Shit. I don't know.
Anyway, Bucky Bush was part of a group of outside directors at a defense contractor who realized about $6 million in unauthorized pay from an options backdating scheme, John. Isn't it great to be related to the W?
Access Hollywood.
$6 million. Tax-free.
Wow. Billy Bush is the first cousin of United States President George W. Bush. William Hall Billy Bush. I bet you he's the son of Bush.
William Hall T. Bucky Bush. That's his dad.
Yeah.
What a bunch of fuck-ups. Goddamn chimps running this country. Stupid asses. All right, one last story about the W. Get this, John. Most Americans already believe that George W. is not influenced by facts, but rather
really?
By his ideology.
Really?
Yes, already.
That's
he
genius.
Is reportedly thinking of his legacy and dreaming that history will prove him right. More disturbing are his religious beliefs, in particular his daily readings of Scottish preacher Oswald Chambers, who argues, John, that if plans and events go wrong, it just means that God is testing the believer's faith, not that the strategies should be changed. Isn't that great?
That's great.
So all this time, the W thinks that the Lord's testing his faith when the Lord doesn't even fucking exist. This also may explain Bush's aversion to diplomacy.
Diplomacy.
After all, God does not negotiate with evil, John.
That's right, or fags.
Well, if he'd listen to our show, he'd know that God parties with Satan on a regular basis.
Oh, no doubt.
All right. Is that
no
it?
No doubt.
Oh, I do have a Bush drug story.
Oh, God.
But we could turn it over to Phil. If Phil's ready.
Is he?
Well, of course. I'm always ready, John. Scott.
Whenever you're ready.
Oh, John, I may have to turn it over. There is some news going on outside the world as we discuss news today. I may have to turn it to an emergency newscast. I was just wondering if you have the capabilities to...
We just all right, tap right. right into the satellite feed.
All right, we'll tap into the satellite feed if I get the signal to do so.
All right.
All right, then. I just got a very short news day today.
All right.
Because I couldn't copy and paste for some reason on my computer.
On the Bozo pewter?
My Bozo pewter. I had trouble copying and pasting.
All right, then.
Oh, that's funny, John. All right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Phil.
And our first story tonight. Nice boobs. Oh, wait. You're a man. Nice moobs. As in man boobs.
Moobs. That's moobies. Moobies driving.
A record 4,000 blokes in the UK had their man breasts or boobs removed by cosmetic surgery last year, according to the British Association of Plastic Surgeons.
I should probably get mine done.
That's almost double the number in 2005 when 2,100 went under the knife for the same reason.
And their moobs.
I know a friend of mine had the operation known as gynoplasty.
It is not.
The moob condition itself being more sensible known as gynecomastia back in 2003.
It's not Gina?
Gynecomastia. Making me something of a pioneer, my friend, something of a pioneer. Since the gynoplasty has gone up from 8th to 3rd place in the top 10 cosmetic procedures undergone by men.
So is Scott getting a mangina removal?
Oh, that's funny, John. Newspapers have taken to printing shots of noted movies such as Simon Cowell, Tony Blair, Robin Williams, and Chris Moyles going topless on holiday. Farcical, saucy, and somewhat tragic. Man breasts make ideal fodder for the British tabloid media.
Who's that one golfer? He won today. Shit. Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson, of course.
Phil Mickelson used to get made fun of because of his man boobs. Because he'd wear these really shiny golf shirts, and when he'd walk down the fairway, he'd be jiggling shit all over the place, and his nipples were always hard.
He must have gotten gynecomastia then, John.
No, next, he just lost some weight.
At our next story. Burglars steal 36 sex toys, 18 tubs of chocolate body paint, and 12 blow-up dolls from sex shop delivery van.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
In related news, John and Scott will be having a kick-ass Valentine's party. Unfortunately, nobody else will be invited.
Next story, John.
How'd you write that, Phil?
Boys allegedly rubbed one out, jerked the chicken, spanked the monkey, and or masturbated in class. Eighth grade girls who accused three Desert Arroyo middle school boys of sexual misconduct told detectives the boys exposed themselves in class and performed other lewd acts. The boys faced criminal charges that range from indecent exposure to sexual abuse. Several students reported the boys repeatedly groped 13-year-old girls and tried to solicit sex acts in class. Next story, John. Good news, John. Having sex lowers your blood pressure, reduces risk of heart attack. That is,
dude, how many times are you going to do this story?
That is the good news.
Have I done this story before? Every week.
Having sex lowers your blood pressure, reduces risk of having a heart attack. Here's the bad news, John. It only works if there's another person involved. Next story, John. Woman makes theater change marquee so that she doesn't have to explain to her niece what a vagina is. A modified marquee in Atlanta Beach has been drawing some attention.
You gotta be kidding me.
Hoo-ha! Replaced the word in the title of a play after a driver complained about finding the previous word offensive.
Hoo-ha monologues?
The marquee of Atlantic Theaters advertises a number of plays, including the Masquerade Ball, Band Jam, and now the Hoo-ha monologues.
So wait a minute. This is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Some said hoo-ha is a strange word that its definition depends on its context, while others said it sounds like a country band. However, it's not a band at all. In fact, most people know hoo-ha by a different name. Vagina.
Vagina.
We got to complain about this play, the vagina monologues, said Bryce Fiffenstiel, the Atlantic Theater director. Next page. If page you happen two. To be mentally disabled, the hoo-ha monologues is a replacement title for the vagina monologues,
which is a well-known play about the part of the female body. Next story, John. This just in. Early candidate for Father of the Year puts lighter fluid, hot peppers, Prozac, and amitriptyline in soup. Hoping his sick kids would lead to a big settlement with Campbell's. In related news, Dad is now in jail. And despite a brief hospital stay, the little rugrats are doing quite well. Next story, John. Man finds fingertip in chocolate bar as opposed to a fingertip in his chocolate bar. Hold on. Man finds fingertip in chocolate bar as opposed to a fingertip in his chocolate bar. This is out of Frankfurt, John. A man in Germany was put off his Italian chocolate treat when he noticed that a bump in the bar was not a nut, but a part of a human finger.
You mean fingertip on his chocolate bar? Not in again?
I don't know what Phil means, man.
He found a fingertip complete with his fingernail right in the middle of the bar.
Oh, that's brutal.
Said a police spokesman in the town of Mainz, close to Frankfurt.
Maybe it was an almond.
I suppose it went unnoticed because there were nuts in the chocolate, and it was hard to tell the difference.
The police spokesman
said. Is he French or German?
Adding the fingertip was being examined by forensic experts. The 28-year-old man was in shock when he took the bar to police after a family doctor confirmed its contents. Police declined to name the brand of chocolate. Next story, John. Marijuana may be more addictive than you think, John. Marijuana may be more addictive than you think. I was going to finish the story, but I began looking for my one hitter. Next story, John.
pupil scared by asteroid spoof does not involve Uranus. Pupils were left in tears after a teacher told them that an asteroid was about to hit Earth and kill them all. The spoof announcement was designed to teach us 14-year-olds the importance of seizing the day, carpe diem, but backfired when they became visibly frightened.
Visibly.
Keith Hogan, head teacher at St. Matthew's RC High School in Mostyn, Massachusetts.
RC?
Said he regretted any distress caused to the 230 pupils. The head of year behind the assembly stunt later moved to reassure them.
I can't even understand what you're saying.
He had told the year 9 students that the asteroid was on a collision course. It is also believed that the students were told they would go home and say final farewells to their families. Next, wait a minute, John. We're just getting this in. This is hot off the press. This is a via satellite coming in, a news story via satellite. If you go ahead and click our satellite feed and tune in.
Let me get it right
here. Let's tune into this.
The deputy police chief says 6 officers were killed, including the district's top cop. After the vehicle they were riding in was sprayed with bullets.
All right, that's very tragic news. The top cock.
Yeah,
cop.
I'm glad we did that again.
We did that
10 years ago.
Ah, that's funny. The top cock was sprayed with bullets. We'll hope he's doing better. Thank you for that satellite feed hookup. You should get producer of the year just for that move,
I should,
John.
For playing it again.
Next story, John. Last story. Iranian commission demands European countries provide documents proving the Holocaust so they can examine them and call for Zionist forgeries. Well, that really wasn't a story at all. And that's the news, John.
All right. Well, thanks for coming again, Phil.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to see you at the old studio where we first got started. It brings back very fond memories for me.
Get the fuck out.
All right, then.
All right, bye-bye.
I'll be making my way to the door, which is the exact same distance as the door at your home studio.
Exactly.
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 The same amount of
distance.
All right, then.
Wow. I got just one thing to play here, since it's been so cold, and there's this Republican senator.
Senator.
No, he's a representative. Representative.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Is he a senator?
He's in the House.
Not?
Senator. He's in the House. Dan Rohrabacher from California. He's a Republican. Let's hear what he has to say about global warming.
We don't know what those other cycles were caused by in the past. Could be dinosaur flagellants, you know, or who knows?
But sounds like Zach.
The CO2 in the past had its time when it was vibrator as well.
So wait a minute. It's not man-made. It's from dinosaurs.
Dinosaur ass.
230 million years ago, farting. That's why it's warming up now.
Yeah, somebody voted for that dumbass.
And fuck the warming up because...
Well, there is some evidence that cow farts contribute to it.
Sure, and we covered a story about a guy who invented a cow fart catcher that you attach to the cow's ass.
Right.
And it catches all that gas.
Catches the ass gas.
But getting back to this jamoke who think it's the dinosaurs, John.
Yeah.
From 230 million years ago.
Yeah, a billion cars have nothing to do with it.
Well, it's just ridiculous. And like you said, people voted that guy into office. And it makes me want to run for office, John.
Yeah.
If they can vote the chimp to the highest political office in the land, they can certainly vote Jizz and Skiz.
Jizz and Skiz, for president.
Alderman or something, low-level position.
Yeah, we should put another T-shirt together. Jizz and Skiz for president.
All right.
Jizz and Skiz.
There you have it.
We'll put that out there. We'll put jizz and skizz out there.
But as far as global warming, this week in Chicago, John, this last week was the coldest week in 112 years.
Yeah.
So where's your global warming now, John?
Yeah. It's climate change. I think they're saying the global warming is causing climate change, which is changing the climate in areas like
here. Is
that
what it means?
Well, instead of it like being really warm and dry in Vegas and stuff, which it still is, but eventually maybe it's going to get like it's going to get more tornadic.
Tornadic.
Yeah, tornadic.
Great word.
Like it is over in the UK. They tornadic. Got ripped up by a tornado. And Florida got ripped up by some tornadoes.
Central Florida, yeah.
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 No shit doubt. Like that, you know. It just makes it the atmosphere unstable. And, you know, back in the day, there's evidence saying that where there's the ocean, it used to be a desert.
Right.
And where there's a desert, it used to be an ocean.
Shit happens, John. Yeah. Climates change. We had the ice age, then it warms up, then we get another ice age.
Well, we've been in an ice age, I guess, supposedly.
Supposedly. Who knows? Yeah. They don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Only the Lord knows, John.
The Lord. Yeah, just before I left to come here, I watched the Police play Roxanne on the Grammys. Pretty
fucking
awesome.
I thought the Grammys
were
always on Monday night.
I think they're Sunday. I don't know. But anyways, the Police played. And then Mary J. Blige, is that one of them?
Sure.
She won a Grammy. First thing, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God for giving me the talent to accept this award. And
just the talent to accept the award?
I don't know.
Not
some
the
shit
talent
like
to
that.
Win
and
the
as
award?
I'm walking out, I'm like, can I curse Jesus Christ and the Lord for allowing the Grammys to be on television?
I think so.
As
hey,
I
well,
walked
if we
out.
Ever
and my
win
mother-in-law
anything,
said, yeah, you can.
If we ever win anything, we should do that.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd like to curse the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
For not getting me this award sooner.
I should have gotten this award 10 years ago. So I curse the Christ and all his followers. Yeah, I think you wouldn't have a career after that.
And his stepdad. All right, that's all the time we got here with AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with Jizz and Skizz.
He's Jizz.
He's Skizz. We're out of here.
Later.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.